So it's with great pleasure that I want to introduce Dr. Dolors Armenteras. Dolors is originally from Barcelona. She did her bachelor's degree in biology in the University of Barcelona. Then she did a PhD in King's College in geography. And then she's now an associate professor at the Universidad Nacional de Colombia in the leading the landscape ecology group. And she's going to give you an overview of the research that she's been doing over the last years, mostly focusing on landscape ecology and land use change and fire ecology and remote sensing. So I'll leave you to that.
Yes. Thank you, Ima, and thank you for inviting me here, and thank you all for coming. I'm going to give a sort of like a big picture of the research we do or we've been doing in the last few years from Colombia, with Colombian resources, from the local, from the tropics, not coming from here and going to tropics, but from the experience of living and trying to do research immersed in a tropical country, in a tropical university, in a state university, and introducing like several methodologies and approaches that were not typically in the curriculum of the universities there. So I'm going to show a little bit of what we've done in the last 10, 15 years, although I've been in Colombia for 19 years now. But before the university, I was in the environmental sector, so I sort of like had a bit of an experience of dealing with environmental issues as well as now dealing with doing research from a university like ours. National University is one of the biggest universities. The National University of Colombia is one of the biggest universities in Latin America. I think it's the third largest university. And I work in the Bogota campus. Bogota is the capital. It's the biggest campus. And I'm immersed in the biology department, so I'm surrounded by geneticists, physiologists, ecophysiologists, zoologists. But I mainly work on these four main areas of research. Both teaching and doing research in biodiversity and conservation, fire geography and fire ecology, some spatial modeling, and land use deforestation and fragmentation studies that we've been doing in the country. So today I'm going to talk more about this line of research than the others, but you can also see some of our work in some of the other lines. We started over 10 years ago, 15 years ago, starting to basic questions like knowing how much deforestation was going on in our country. So we started like doing some studies on trying to understand deforestation. Colombia was not in the picture of environmental deforestation studies a few years ago, and believe it or not, we didn't even know how much deforestation was going on in some of the regions. So we sort of like starting providing some information on how much forest was being lost in some of the regions. So we started like looking at the Amazon. The Amazon is one of the fastest changing landscapes in the continent, but also in the country. So we did some measurements of deforestation rates, patterns, and causes of deforestation. Again, we first started quantifying, but then trying to understand what was happening. And one of the findings or the commonalities that we found is that Colombia was not strange to what was going on in other places in general terms. But when you start looking at the regional difference within the country, you start looking at regions that are more driven by one factor than the other. So in some areas, the illicit crops at some point was a driving factor of deforestation, not anymore, but at some point it was a driving factor. In some other was the road infrastructure, and in another place would be the cattle and the urbanization as well. So you had a combination of different dynamics going on in the country, and also different speed and rate of change that was going on. So we sort of like try to provide some information on explaining the dynamics, so the different dynamics within the country, within the different regional context that we have. I haven't explained it, but Colombia has at least five big different regions. The Amazon is one that is perhaps well known because you'll associate it with the Brazilian Amazon and the big Amazon. And also we have part of the savanna region of the Orinoco Basin that it's covering Colombia and Venezuela. So you have a different dynamic there. That's a savanna type of dynamics and society, socio-dynamics, socioeconomics, demographics, etc. But then we have also the Andes. The Andean is a very important part of Colombia because 85-90% of the population lives in the Andes. So in the past had been heavily transformed and is where more of the agriculture is placed and where most of the water is produced as well. And that has to do also with the influence of the Andes with the Amazon, and it has a lot of connections, but it's a completely different, it's a mountain, very different area of mountain regions in the country. And then you have the Caribbean, totally Caribbean style, dry forest, heavily conversed in the past, with different dynamics as well, with population, with a lot of cattle. And you have the Pacific coast, with the wettest, one of the wettest rainforests of the world, at least of the South American continent. So all these five different geographic regions are having still today different dynamics of what's going on in the country. So we did that. So we started providing some answers to explain why different dynamics were happening in the country. And then also, because we tried to, or maybe because I came from the environmental sector and wanted to provide some useful tools for the decision makers, we sort of like starting to look at some policies, see whether protected areas were being effective or not effective, or what was going on regarding some of the implemented policies in the country. So we've done that as well in the sense of providing that information for reassessing or reevaluating or praising the environmental policies that the country was implemented. In this sense, we even tried to do some scenarios of projections of land use and cover change, particularly in the Andes, because, again, the Andes are heavily populated with also a fast dynamic, but also very important, very sensitive to climate change. They have a lot of mining resources as well, so a lot of issues going on in the Andes that needed to be sort of like approached. So we try to do some scenarios more exploratory than anything else. We will try to do some policy and target seeking scenarios in the future for the Andes because of the high and the strong and the fast changes that are happening there. So we've done a little bit of trying to understand these dynamics of deforestation and land use changes in the different regions of the country. But when we were doing that, I've never worked with fire before, even if I come from Barcelona and in the Mediterranean is a typical fire region. I never did work with fire, but while doing all that, fire started to appear or to be involved in many of these studies without looking at them. I mean, the country didn't even know how much was being burned in Colombia every year. And there's quite a bit of things being burned per year in this tropical country. So you know the tropics are very important, 40% of the forest is there, and a lot of population lives in the tropics, but particularly in the last few decades, the fires in the tropics have increased in terms of frequency, intensity, and also in terms of economic impacts of the impacts of fires in terms of economic impacts for the populations. So other effects or all the impacts at the ecosystem level have to do with changes in composition and structure, the changes in biodiversity, all the ecosystem services that are affected by that, and all the emissions that are related with what's going on in terms of using fire or or fire happening naturally in this tropical ecosystem. So in this sense, we started like looking at what was going on in Brazil, in the Amazonia, Brazil. If you look at the literature, and I'm sure you have, many years ago, many of the climate, deforestation, fire associated research was centered in the legal Amazonia, the Brazilian Amazonia. But Brazilian Amazonia is part of it. I mean, you still have a very important part of the Amazonia that is outside Brazil. In any case, we started at sort of like a studying all these climate, fire, deforestation association that in Brazil was starting sort of to be understood, and literature was coming, and the relationships and the association with El Niño and La Niña and the big drought in 2005 and 2010 that happened. And that would seem pretty clear for a big area like the Brazilian Amazon. But also some of the association between deforestation and models about deforestation and fire were again centered or published mostly, not anymore, but mostly within the limits of Brazil. But then, again, all these other parts outside Brazil was being left over. So we sort of like, from our country, we sort of like started to look for what was going on in this part of the Amazonian outside Brazil, because it happens to be the northwestern part of the Amazon. It happens to be the wettest of the whole Amazon. It's the wettest because of the influence of the Andes. So we wanted to sort of like starting to see or find out whether the relationships that in Brazil were being found were the same in our part of the world, particularly in the Amazon. In Colombia, this is where I sort of like started like doing some of this research. So knowing that part of the Amazon is outside Brazil, we sort of like focus on understanding this. And the first thing we did was to quantify with remote sensing data and time series analysis, quantify how much was being burned, how many hectares, and what was the association of the climate variation in the country with fires within the whole country. Because as I said, in the Caribbean, there's also a dry area, and so there are also fires, and the Andes also has some fires, the Amazon has fires, the Savannah has fires, so we wanted to at least know and have an idea of how much was being burned. So we sort of like started with that. On average, it was around 400,000 hectares per year, with a deviation of another 400,000 hectares. So even in a linear year, over 1 million hectares could be burned in Colombia. So we didn't even know that until a few years ago. So at least we had a reference of what was going on within the country. But then we follow research of Brazil, trying to understand again the relationship with the climate variation, but also within those regions, because again, there are really five completely different regions in many sense, in precipitation, in soils, in geology, in origin, in human occupation, so everything in the land use. So we sort of like started to analyze and understand these fire dynamics between those five big regions. And we found out that obviously the Savanna region, the Orinoco River, was the area that was more affected by fires. The extension of fires when fires occur are bigger, larger. But on the other hand, using hotspots, MODIS hotspots data, we found out also that in the Amazon there were a smaller fire, but there were many more fires. So in the Orinoco, the fires are larger, the extension is bigger, but in the Amazon there are many small fires happening. So that's where, again, as I was saying before, that association with deforestation is starting to show up more clearly. again,
trying to focus this in Colombia and Amazon, we sort of like did this study on relating the precipitation anomalies, drier years, wetter years, with more hot burned years and less fires happening in the Amazon. So we sort of like find out that although the relationship is not as strong as is in Brazilian Amazon, because here is wettest, still some strong relationship with climate of fires that happen in the Amazon. So climate is a factor influencing fires in the Amazon in Colombia. Again, not as strongly, fires are not as big, the drought is not as extensive as in some of the Brazilian part of the Amazon, but there is some clear association of that. Also, not only the climate, but the fires, but also with the deforestation, we sort of like started doing some models to associate those fires in the Amazon with the deforestation that was going on. So we sort of like found a strong association between fires and deforestation in the Amazon, and it started also to mix all these drivers that we at some point we had looked and analyzed without even thinking about fires, and also you know the what happens in other places with pastures and the influence of indirectly of population density and also the conversion to certain crops was positively related to the deforestation in the Amazon. Again, because I'm in a landscape ecology group, or we do research on landscape ecology, one of our interests has been always been understanding the effects and the consequences of fragmentation, not only deforestation but also fragmentation. So we've done some studies relating fire as well with fragmentation. So this is an interesting study because it's one of the few that relates the occurrence of fires with fragmentation. The more fragmented, the more present of edge in the Amazon, the more fires you have. So that was something interesting for our country in the sense that nobody had even looked at that. Nobody was thinking that there's a reason why fires happen to occur in the border of where the forest fragments are or where the colonization front is actively happening. And also, the difference between what happens in protected areas, indigenous reserve, integrated management areas, and outside, places that don't have any particular land tenure, or how you call it, management practice or whatever. So indigenous reserves happen to be the areas where less occurrence of fires happen, although people tend to say that the indigenous burn and they do their chagras, etc., but it happens to be the area with less fires, and also with fires less intense. The fires are very small, controlled, less intense, because they have a particular traditional use of perhaps fire in some areas. Whilst the integrated management districts that in the country, in theory, were designed for more sustainable use of the land, were happening to have more fires than areas that are not declared or not accessible or whatever, and also fires very intense. So a lot of biomass being burned in those integrated district management areas. So anyway, we sort of like started from the Colombia, looking at some of the regions, and we did also, have been trying to understand further the dynamics of what happens in certain areas. When we found a particularly hot spot of deforestation or something is interesting, or for instance, this area that in the 2000s was, or in the 90s, was one of the areas where the illicit crop production, the coca production, was focused. It was really the center of the production of illicit crops. And to crop to cultivate illicit crops, they cut the forest. And they use fire in some places. Or so we thought. In any case, we sort of like, in this area, a big colonization front, there's some indigenous reserves here, where the illicit crops happen to be a big issue in the late 90s, we did a local study trying to understand the dynamics and sort of like trying to show how areas with more or less, I don't remember which one is fire, which one is, I think the red is fire or areas burned, and the purple is illicit crops. So we follow 10 years of local sites. We did like 300 3 by 3 kilometers plots or grids to study and follow what was going on over 10 years. We sort of like tried also to understand what was the role of fire, or how was fire acting in this land use, big land use, fast land use change that was happening in this interesting region of the country. So we sort of like analyzed some areas that we call forest mosaics, were mostly forest, so we wanted to see what was happening in areas that were mostly forest, where it had a big presence of pastures. I don't remember how we defined those, but it was like 10% of the area was pastures, and 10% was fire, or 5% of illicit crops at the starting year in 2000. And we sort of like analyzed the dynamics, all the changes that happened along this 10 years period, but also annually. The fast dynamics that happens in many of these areas that sometimes is not captured when you just look at two years in a time series. So no matter what, the areas were strongly associated with pastures. Pastures conversion, pastures use, I mean fire, no matter where you were, wherever there was fire, there was pastures. So we started like blaming, or and I myself and some of my colleagues, the cows, and eating meat, and the cows, and too many cows, and the cattle, and the cattle growers are the ones to blame. And it might be so in some places, but it's not so in others. So we added a complexity in this region. This is again one colonization front, very fast, very sort of like active. A lot of problems in the past, illicit crops in the past, not anymore. The illicit crops have really gone down in this region. But we analyzed this part of this colonization front. There's a road that partly illegal has been constructed from this city, San Jose, to Calamar. It doesn't matter. But we sort of like looked to see whether beef, the demand for beef and the price of beef was, of the meat, had any relationship with what was going on. And what we found, it was that no, had nothing to do with the number of cows. That, sorry, I don't have anything else here, but that the what was happening here is that people were buying pieces of land, and they were just burning to make it able to have a title. If you clean some land, they just give you a title. So some people were acquiring big pieces of land. So there was a thing about not cows. The density of cows was like, I don't know, 0.1 per hectare. That's really, really low. It had nothing to do with the price, even if there was fluctuation of the price of the beef. Nothing to do with that, even with the opening of markets for cows, and nothing to do with that. It was people getting land in a conflict area that in the past had conflicts, but they are hoping that in the near future they'll be able to do some investment. So beef were not necessarily to blame, although, of course, it's associated to pastures. So every time you think fire and pastures are so strongly linked, sometimes it has nothing to do with land use related to grazing, but other types of future land use or speculation with the land. That's what happened in this case. And again, I was one of the ones that always said that cows were to blame for that. In any case, we're doing some more research on forest degradation. Forest degradation, as you know, is one aspect of the red plus mechanisms that many countries are sort of like trying to quantify and monitor. We're not doing it because of that. We're doing it because as a landscape ecologist, we've found the many patterns that happen in the landscape are associated with fragmentation and with all the edge effects related, etc. So we're doing some work on edge effects and impacts of fires on some of the remain or forest remains or some of the colonization frontier and the border. We've done some experiments, which is really unusual for Colombia. Well, usually fire landscape experiments are difficult. In Brazil, they've done amazing things. Usually, Colombia is not that easy to do this kind of experiments, and even less easy to do experiments with fire. But we managed to do a small experiment with fire and measure some of the carbon dynamics of the soil in this area that gets burned quite frequently, and also along the edge, sort of like see within this transition area between forest and savanna what's going on, because it might be important for carbon dynamics in a big basin like the Orinoco Basin that we have in Colombia. So we've done sort of like started doing some research like this with this kind of sampling along the edge and measuring, what is this? This is the organic soil organic content, and following, doing a pre-burn, burning, and a few months after burning, following a little bit what was going on in relation to this. As I said before, we try to do, the idea of our research is to be as useful as possible for the country and for the institutions that do the environmental regulation and the environmental implementation of policies. And one of the things we've done recently is developing the code is available, developing a model to incorporate fire as a predictor of deforestation in the areas where fire is used as a deforestation tool, which is really something you would think it's logic, it should have been done before, but in the country that has a monitoring program for RED, they don't have fire incorporated as a driver of deforestation. Although every 6 months they produce an early warning system of deforestation for the country, and so we sort of like decided to sort of like help them and prove that using fire their alerts of deforestation improve substantially in those areas where fire is important for deforestation. So this is something that can be downloaded, and the code is available in R. But basically what it shows is that fires that happen near the border with the forest, in that border that is advancing because of the colonization, but if you use near real-time fire monitoring fire monitoring data, if you use that real-time fire monitoring data and you associate it quickly with the edge of the forest, you could predict, or you do predict much better what's going to happen next year with that forest. The fire is really close to where it's going to be deforested in one way or the other. And that would help, in theory, should help them to prevent some of the deforestation that is happening in some of the areas. In any case, the model proved that the improvement of their model was like 30% or 40% improvement just using fire near real-time data, incorporating it into a code to rapidly predict deforestation. It doesn't predict everything, but it helps. Because I focus on Colombia, but also some other part of the Amazon is in Ecuador and Peru. We've recently, in the last few years, we've been also working with some colleagues in trying to incorporate the difference between Colombia Amazon, Ecuador Amazon, and Peruvian Amazon. All three Andean countries, all three have a strong influence of the Amazon water basin. Brazil should never forget about the Andean countries, because it has a strong influence in the whole basin of what's going to happen. So we sort of like have been recently analyzing the difference between these three countries. In this case, was looking at
again, these different patterns of fragmentation, deforestation, fires in relation with roads and rivers. Rivers as an access, as an accessibility way of, how do you say it? Yeah, as an accessibility for accessing the forest, and roads, because in some of the countries, roads in the Amazon are advancing much faster than it looks. Even with the difficulties of building roads in the Amazon, the colonization front is advancing. Recently, there's been some papers or some things on the news talking about the new arc of deforestation in the Amazon being this one, the Colombian one. So things are happening very fast. Remember some of the big news a few years ago of the big deforestation arch in the Amazon was in the south of Brazil and in the border with Bolivia. The second new wave of deforestation in the Amazon, it's happening in this part of the northwestern Amazon. So we're sort of like conducting or trying to do research in this part. Recently, I've been lucky enough to have a USAID funded project on the impacts of fires on forests. Some of the research I've shown you so far, they're sort of like more spatially geographic landscape ecology type of research, but we also have some sites on the ground, like the soil sampling, so we do like a cross scale, multiple scale, depending on the funding and circumstances. But one of the recent funders has been USA, and we're looking at the impacts of fire on the forest structure and composition. In particular, in this case, is in the savanna region of Colombia, and also because this basin, the Orinoco Basin, this is just the local study. I forgot to put the whole map. It's full of riparian forest. Riparian forest immersed in this landscape of savannas, in this interface between savannas and forest. And savannas get burnt every year, half a million hectares, and somehow the forest have to be affected. So everybody told me in Colombia that no, the forest was not being affected, that the savanna was the only stopped. The fire stopped at the end of the savanna, but what we are finding in the field is that that's not true. I mean, the fire, the frequency of fires in the savannas, the intensity are increasing, and the fires are affecting the forest, at least in some places. So we're doing this research, and as you can see, there's a strong influence on the forest structure, very sort of like open, a lot of logs left burned from previous year. Some species regenerate after fire in this forest interface. We don't even know which ones do in Colombia. So there's a lot of research that needs to be undertaken in these aspects of the fire ecology of this Orinoco Gallery riparian forests, very important for carbon. We've been lucky enough, I've been lucky enough to find two volunteer students that were doing something else and wanted to try and test a drone. I usually don't like too much drones, but in this case, we thought it was very useful because we've done some transects of vegetation, and these students of geomatics are also looking at those same transects on the from the top. And one of the other things that we are starting to look into, because as I said at the beginning, I also work on, or we also do some biodiversity and conservation work, and as we have other projects in relation to that. But one of the things we're trying to integrate is how fire affects mammals, or animals in general. So we're starting with the small mammals. We'll see how far we go. But, you know, it's a driver in landscape and ecosystem structure and dynamics. Fire is very important. It's there. It's happening. It's driving many changes. When a fire occurs, there's many indirect effects on fauna. Fauna moves, goes away, but also in some cases some direct effects. And we sort of like starting, there's a PhD of mine who has just started her PhD on trying to understand the fauna responses to the fire regimes and all the heterogeneity that is originated because of the fire in these highly dynamic regions.
Other research we do, or we keep doing and trying to understand how the deforestation rates change over the region, and sub-regionalization, because as again I said at the beginning, really even within a country you have five different regions, different countries, different sub-countries happening. We are also trying to develop a fire spread model. There are many in the temperate areas, in the States, in Europe, in Australia. I'm not sure if in Africa there are some fire spread models. Probably they are. In Brazil, certainly, there's a couple of models that have been done in some of the Cerrado, not so much in the Amazon, but certainly in Colombia, there's in northern part of Latin of South America, there's nothing, and we don't know how fire spreads and how it behaves and how it gets affected by several factors. So we're doing that, also a fire risk model we're developing, or trying to go step by step developing a fire risk model, and all related research that has any spatial modeling or also influence of fire on biodiversity and ecosystem services as much as we can in this sense. We don't do this alone. I mean, we do it from there, but we collaborate, or we've been collaborating with some institutions from outside, mainly like by donations of images, like from Digital Globe. This is the national science funding institution in Colombia. Some funding from Ruford for some farmer research. And most of the other collaborations have been collaboration without funding involved. So sort of like collaboration among colleagues. And finally, without people, all these things wouldn't be possible. So this is one of the team that we set for the last campaign of fieldwork in the Orinoco, where we were doing this research on the impact of fire on forest structure and composition, and just some pictures to show you more or less what we see, and have some relaxing time as well as working time in the region. So just to say thank you. I'm open to any collaboration or any interest, and if you have any questions, you're more than welcome to do so. So thank you.